Oh, yes. Not even a little bit of a cold that I'm experiencing right now is going to keep me from the steam room on this day, on this week.
I like it, though.
What?
Your voice.
You know, we got a little bit of a jazz flavors on 97.5. And coming your way right now, uninterrupted, George Benson, 45 minutes.
George Benson, man, one of my favorite people. I haven't seen him in a minute, but he's a great man.
How are you?
Ernie, I just want to tell
you. Oh, by the way.
Welcome to the Steam
Room. Go Dogs.
America, I just want to welcome y'all to the longest hour and a half of my life. You know what?
I'm going to be nice.
Congratulations, Ernie.
Thank you, sir.
America.
And we don't need to talk about it a lot in this segment because we happen to have a special guest coming up later.
Okay.
Who might have a thing or two to say about Georgia. He'd be the top dog. Anyway, go ahead.
Before we get to first of all, I just want to tell the people. So I'm down in makeup, and he's scrubbing his damn helmet.
No, I wasn't scrubbing it. I was just polishing it
massaging it.
Yeah.
He's massaging this helmet down in makeup. He leaves makeup. I come to the studio, and he's still massaging it.
I was looking at the lights to see how it was reflecting, and it looks good, man. It looks like game night.
Well, let's get to first of all. Well, another, I don't even know what this word means, melancholy. One of the great influence. You know how I feel about teachers.
Yes.
One of the great influences of my life passed away last week, Mr. James Roberson. And I really admire and respect teachers. I try to always let them know what they mean to people. But this man was just an amazing person. And I just wanted to start the show out just saying, just mentioning some of the teachers who've had just an amazing influence in my life.
When was this?
This was when I was in junior high. Mr. Roberson was just an amazing teacher. There was Miss Plump, Miss Turk, Miss Hill, Coach Copeland, Coach Honeycutt, and Miss Robertson. These were some of the most influential people, teachers. But Mr. Robertson, man, he was probably the first person, him and Miss Robertson, who had a huge influence on my life.
Were you able to stay in contact with him?
Oh, yes. I went to his birthday party like probably 2 months ago. And he was in decline in health, but he could understand just talking to him. And I told him, if I had told him over the last 30, 40 years how much he meant to me. And he was just, you know, that's one of the reasons I love your daughter, her being a teacher also.
Maggie, yeah.
And she, I mean, because it takes so much patience to deal with other people's brats and try to influence them.
I'm so glad you brought that up, this whole thing, because one of the things I talk about when I speak, and I go back to one of my old Little League coaches back mm-hmm. when I was 10 years old, who I kept in touch with through the years because he was such an influence. And I remember reaching out to him when I was an adult and how much it meant to him to have somebody that he coached at one point say, hey, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, and what I tell folks when I'm speaking now is that there are ways, especially with social media these days, Facebook and stuff, where you can reconnect with people yeah. that you haven't spoken to in a long time. And I always encourage him to reach out to somebody who was big in your life,
yeah.
who was a teacher, who was a coach, who was a neighbor, whatever, and just say thanks.
Yeah.
Because that makes somebody's day, and especially when it's like out of the blue, and it's yeah. like, yeah, I do remember teaching you. I remember seventh grade. Yeah. I remember, let them know. Let folks know the influence they had
yeah.
years ago.
Go back and find your teachers. And like I said, I just want to remember Mr. Roberson, Miss Plump, Miss Hill, Miss Turk, Coach Honeycutt, Coach Cope, and Miss Robertson. Miss Robertson was amazing. And man, she was just a special lady, took care of us and all the kids, gave us jobs on the weekend to keep us out of trouble. And so shout out to all the teachers out there. And I think sometimes we get beat over the head with negativity.
No doubt.
When you get deal with some kids who are brats and you see like you can't do anything to them anymore. But I really appreciate teachers. So thank you, teachers. That's how I want to start the show.
It's a great first of all.
Oh, I put, this is how stupid I am. I got plumber at 3 o'clock. I got a plumber coming at 3 o'clock.
Let's talk to the crew here. Should that be part of, first of all, that Chuck has a plumber coming at 3 o'clock?
Coming at 3 o'clock. That's how.
What's the issue, Chuck?
New dishwasher.
Oh, okay.
New dishwasher. Shout out to Randy Knight, my plumber. He's giving me.
You do a lot of cooking in your joint?
No. This is at my mom's house.
What do you need a dishwasher?
House.
Oh, okay.
This is my mom's house.
So I got you.
Randy Knight, one of my
Do you have a dishwasher at your place?
Yes, it's never been used. Never, ever been used. But
I need to call a plumber.
I'm remodeling my mom's house, and she needed a new dishwasher. And Randy, who went to high school with me, is a plumber. And I got to remember, it's 4 o'clock Atlanta time when he's coming over. I got to make sure I let him in. So that.
Okay.
And listen.
Stop putting your personal stuff on the first of all list.
So this is the way I do my first of all list. Like, there's so much happened. Like, we tape on Thursday. But if some have on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, yeah. Tuesday, I don't remember. Oh, DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah.
Went home, man.
No kidding.
I mean, first of all, how ironic was he went to the same high school as TK?
Yeah. And how ridiculous was Sunday?
Oh,
when the emotion of that place, and then you return the opening kickoff 96 yards for a touchdown.
That was so amazing.
It's a God wink, man.
Yes, but shout out to DeMar for going home. Shout out to all the first responders. How about them? Want the guy who scored the touchdown giving the trainer the football?
There was a lot of
That's
good
a lot,
stuff,
man. But like I tell you guys, you got these fools who run our country who have 11 votes to elect the Speaker of the House. We got this fool who lied about getting elected. Man, we got to start holding our politicians more accountable. They're supposed to make the world a better place, not awful. So the thing I learned through this DeMar Hamlin thing is, which I already knew, but sometimes you just need to know, man, there's so much good out there. For those people to raise all those millions of dollars for his charity, a guy they ain't never met. But for them, like, when you raise that type of money for somebody, just like, you're like, this touched me. I want to make a difference. I just want to say thank you to the American people.
Yeah. We are capable of doing good things.
Yeah, but we don't celebrate it.
I know. You know, that's one of the reasons I love, I'm going to give you a suggestion. On Fridays on CBS Evening News, you ever watch Steve Hartman?
Oh, yeah. He does a really good thing.
On the Road?
Yes.
Every Friday at 6:50 Eastern time, you're gonna well up, because the stories he does are all about the good side of people.
Yeah.
And so, man, I need that every week. I really do.
Oh, we need it every week.
Yeah.
So that's it for first of all. Shout out to all the teachers out there. And like I said, America, welcome to the longest hour and a half of my life.
And it's just getting started. And it's just going to get better.
Dude, if you keep shouting that thing, the G going to come off.
Well, did I miss a spot? The phone. Oh, much better.
I will tell you something, though, man.
What are you going to tell me?
That was impressive.
Yes.
And, like, if you like sports, you should like greatness. That was perfection.
And, the mastermind of that perfection joins us next on the Steam Room. Oh, and before we go, you know what?
What?
This is a big day.
What?
Because you're a grandfather now, so you appreciate this. Guess who's 4 years old today? My youngest granddaughter.
Look how adorable she is.
Look at Bennett.
Look how adorable she is.
That's when she was over at our house the other day helping me feed the birds. Isn't she a doll?
She is a doll.
Man, I mean to tell you. There's nothing like those grandkids.
You feed the birds?
Feed birds at my house? Yeah. Bird feeders, man. I got bird feeders all over the place. And look at her wearing the old school Space Jam. You know what? That Space Jam sweatshirt she's wearing?
Yeah.
My son, Eric, her dad, wore that when he was a kid.
Really?
And I kept it all these years.
Knowing that you're a bird feeder might be the whitest thing I've ever heard.
You don't like birds?
I do like birds. I don't feed them.
How else are you going to see them?
When they fly by?
Yeah. Well, they come by and they sit on your feeder.
Of course they're going to come by if you're feeding them.
I got something else to show you that you'll love, too.
Oh, my God. You are so white sometimes.
I've actually got a bird feeder with a camera in it that I got for a gift. And it takes pictures of the birds when they land and start eating.
See what I got to deal with, America? Just when you thought this day
could... Bird buddy. It's a bird buddy.
Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it just got worse. A bird feeder.
Can we extend this show to 2 hours
oh
today?
Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
They sell bird food?
Oh, you are unbelievable.
Ernie, I've never heard that till right now. Seed? I just heard that for the first time right now. I never went in the store and said, hey, y'all got
America,
in the bird feed?
See what I'm working with over here? Holy
We should
moly.
Take a survey. It's got to be 80-20.
The people don't think you can buy bird seed?
People ain't never bought bird feed.
You are out of your mind.
You think more than 20% of people bought bird feed?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God. Raise your hand, anybody in the studio who bought bird feed.
Like everybody. Yeah. Sabella's got 10 bird
feeders.
Clearly,
we just hire anybody around here. We don't look at the resume.
Hey,
we just,
Bennett, look what you started.
You look adorable.
We welcome you back to the steam room. And Chuckster, I'm just going to settle in and enjoy this segment. Prop my feet up. I don't know if we have enough red and black over here on the set. Appreciate you wearing black today in honor of the Georgia Bulldogs. 65-7 winners over TCU for the national championship.
There's nothing I can say. That was perfection.
Yes, it was. And the architect of that perfection joins us here in the steam room. Kirby Smart, the top dog. How are you, coach?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys letting me jump in and join. Y'all doing all right?
We are doing tremendous.
One of us is doing better than the other.
Yeah. No, as a Georgia grad, class of 78, you know it's how special it is to anybody who went there, and all of us take great pride in it. And I just, when you have time to reflect now, coach, and look back at what you've done 2 years running now, how the heck did this happen?
Man, I hadn't had time to reflect and really think about it, Ernie. The day that game ended, I had to go meet with about 20 kids who were either coming out for the draft or going to the portal. So it never, ever stops. It's continuous. But my wife has told me how honored and how pleased she is with the UGA Nation and Dog Nation. And she's like, you know, Ernie Johnson's bragging about you. Got Shaq eating frog legs and betting Charles up. So I'm honored that you're proud of the alma mater. I told somebody the other day, the proudest moment I have is when Georgia fans text me how proud they are, because that's my job, is to make Georgia fans proud.
How do you get your balance? Like, when you win the championship last year, how do you get everything, yourself first and foremost, and the kids refocused to come back? Because obviously when you're the defending champ, there's a lot of pressure. You guys have been pretty much all year number one. How do you keep your team grounded?
Yeah, we were fortunate, Charles, that I say fortunate. We lost all those good players. You know, everybody talks about the 15 draft picks. Well, when all of them left, the other guys hadn't played. And so we had a relatively new team, and they were all kind of pissed off that everybody didn't think they were any good. And most of them were, you know, they had accolades coming out of high school. They were highly recruited, and they're good football players. They're just waiting their turn. And they were a little ticked off, I think, going into the Oregon game. And then, you know, by the Tennessee game, there was a lot of naysayers out there because we had not played maybe our best in some games leading up to that. And it helped motivate them to turn it around. But I don't know. I felt rejuvenated last year. I almost felt relieved after the national championship game that it gave me a little more juice and a little more energy to kind of redo this thing. And I think the job this year is going to be a lot harder than last year because some of the kids we got coming back, you know, that whole complacency and entitlement syndrome the kids have, it makes it hard.
Are you, I mean, I know it's a nonstop job for you, Kirby. Are you recruiting right now? I mean, or when does that start in earnest? And along those lines, the portal and that kind of thing, how has that complicated your life? And And how tough is it to recruit when you've when you're a champion? Or do you have or do you just have to say, you know, we're interested and they want to come and play at Georgia? How much easier is recruiting when you win championships?
Well, you think it gets easier, but it doesn't. In the SEC, I know Charles can tell you, it's brutal. It's like it's cutthroat. I mean, you're going up against the best recruiters in the country. We got the highest paid staffs when you start looking across the SEC East and West, and you know, you get what you pay for. So when you hire good coaches, the expectation is they win, and it's competitive. And you look at what the SEC's done, there's a reason why the SEC's been the most powerful conference, because they've got proximity geographically to the best players. I mean, the state of Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, they put out incredible football players. And when you go to recruit them and you've won a championship, it doesn't get easier because you won, because somebody's going to tell them they can't play there. You know, I think the development factor is what our number one thing is. Like, hey, come here, come play football for a couple of years. You'll have an opportunity to get a great education. And by the way, you can go play in the NFL. And kids aspire to do that. They want to get their degree and they want to go. The thing that's changed it all for me has been the NIL on top of the portal. That combination was like dynamite. So you got kids that are saying, you know what, I can do better than this and I can get paid more while I'm doing it. You know, for a long time, we all went to college and we didn't get a pay to go to school when I was in school here. And now these kids are actually getting the NIL, and it's a hell of an opportunity for them in their season and rightfully so.
In a way, are you recruit a kid to come to your place, and that recruiting never stops with that kid, doesn't it? I mean, that's right. The way to me. You got to try to keep them there.
That's right. And I think it's having a good relationship with them. That's where I'm fortunate. I grew up in Montgomery, Alabama for a long time, then South Georgia. My dad was a high school coach, so I grew up around players. And if you can relate to the players and make sure they're having fun and they know that you care about them, they'll play for you. You know, they'll go out there and they'll lay it on the line for you. I think a lot of coaches nowadays actually spend time with the players to invest in them and say, man, I care about you more than just how hard you hit somebody. And that's been the biggest difference in our program, is we spent a lot of time in January, February, March, like really getting to know the players and hanging out with them and caring about them. And then maybe they stick around and stay over some NIL because they're like, you know what, they do care about me here, and I can make it to the NFL from here.
You probably, the most important call, not the TCU game, the Ohio State game, how in the world did you know about the fake punt?
Well, I saw the formation they were in, and we were not ready for it. I was so mad, Charles. We have two defensive ends. One's supposed to be on the left, and one's supposed to be on the right. And we do it every Thursday, just like, you know, basketball, you're going to shoot your free throws. You're going to do your pregame routine. We do that punt safe, where you put the defense out there to stop a fake because it's fourth and one. Well, our defensive ends were lined up on the same side. So we had two of them on the same side and nobody on the other side. And somebody was yelling in my ear, you know, our guys were lined up wrong. I looked out there and I saw the formation they were in. It was not their normal formation. And they were getting ready to snap it. And it had about a split second that I had to make a decision on whether I burnt that timeout or not. And the thought in my mind was, if I burn this timeout, we won't be able to call timeout to get the ball back to stop the clock. You know, and so I had to burn it or they were going to get the first down and it was going to be over. And thank goodness we did.
Stetson Bennett. I mean, you've been asked about him 8 billion times, Coach. But to do what he's done and take the road that he's taken, how do you best sum up his story?
Remarkable. I mean, you know, what's sad is that he was really, really a good athlete in high school. This kid could play basketball. He pitched. He went out last year before our baseball game and threw the first pitch, and they clocked him at 80-something miles an hour throwing a fastball. Like, he is an athlete, right? But where he's from, similar to rural areas where I grew up, people didn't go see him play. People didn't know about him. People didn't put him on a pedestal and write him up and send him to the quarterback gurus. And he was just a really good high school athlete that played quarterback, and he got better and better the more he played. And, you know, we doubted him. I mean, I tell people all the time, I should have been fired for not playing. Like, people should be going, what the hell were you thinking not playing this guy? Like you had the best guy and you didn't play him. I always said that, Charles, about to Gus at Auburn. No, nobody knew who Cam was until Cam started playing. You don't remember that year that Cam played at Auburn? He didn't come on the scene until like the second or third game. And when he came on, I said, well, what the hell were they doing before they were playing him? Because he was the best guy. And it's the same thing for Stetson. Sometimes as coaches, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, man, how did I mess that up so bad? Because he wasn't the best guy his freshman year, but he was certainly the best guy by the time he got to the point where he was playing some. And he's just an incredible story because he's humble. He cares about the rest of the guys on the team. He's one of the guys, and he can spin it, man. He got no hesitation. He can make every throw to the point where sometimes you get mad as hell at him because he forces the ball.
You know, you lost Coach Lanning last year. Are you going to lose any more assistants this year?
I sure hope not. I hope not. I hope your boys over at Auburn leave them alone and quit trying to call them all up and hire all my guys. But we feel good. I feel good about our staff. You never know. I mean, I'm happy for Coach Lanning. You know, I got Coach Lanning out there, Coach Pittman's out there, Coach Tucker's out there. Those guys all helped build our program, and they left it better than they found it. And I'm happy as hell for them. But, you know, you wait every day for somebody to call you and try to take one of your guys. But we try to make it really good culture here so they want to stay.
Hey, Kirby, the Chuckster and I were listening. Apparently online, there has been the release somehow of a pregame speech of one Kirby Smart before the TCU game. I don't know how it got out there, but it was colorful. I don't know any other way to – say
I'll tell
it.
You what, you know,
but Chuckster said he would play for you after listening to it.
Hey, Coach, I quit football after one day because I said, these dudes are crazy out here. But I want you to know, if my coach had made that speech, I was like, you know, I'm going to try to tough it out. That was very impressive.
Well, I'll say this. I want to clear the record. That was not before the TCU game. So I don't know how that – everybody's like, oh, it don't matter. It don't matter. I was like, that was not the TCU pregame speech. So that was leaked from a previous game, and somebody asked me what game. I said, I don't even remember because they all sound like that. The players were all laughing when it came out. A bunch of my guys texted me and said, Coach, they ain't even heard the best one. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, your pregame talk got out. And I listened to it, and I was like, that's definitely not TCU. Because I was talking about 365 days. I wasn't even thinking about TCU 365 days ago.
Yeah. Hey, along those lines, though, how do you figure out what's going to resonate with an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid and what kind of a pregame speech is going to get into them and say, yeah, they're going to knock the door down for me?
Well, you try to change it up. And you don't ever want to be boring. You listen to a lot of their music. That helps. You try to relate. You know, you want to spend time with them. I go down to the locker room, hang out. I talk to the guys. I think 2 days a week before practice, I kind of have a talk I go through with them. And we try to change it up. I want them to interact and laugh. So a lot of my talks are, well, I want them to talk. Because if they just sitting there listening to me, they're going to go to sleep. And nobody likes listening to somebody talk nonstop. So we make our meetings interactive. We never have a meeting more than 30 minutes. These guys, man, they want to be on their phones nonstop. I'm thinking of a way I can start letting them bring their phones in there and just text me from the meeting because they like to be on their phone so much. It helps them out. But really, we just try to do it different every week and try to come up with a different message and theme. And luckily, I got the support at Georgia to help me with ideas like that.
You know, we had Coach Saban on, and we were trying to lighten the mood. And I said, Coach, I have this perception that you are a master griller on some weekends. I'm going to ask you the same question. Are you a master griller on the weekends sometimes?
Hey, Bart, when this gets out, my boys are going to kill me. I can't grill a lick. When I tell you I can't grill a lick, my wife does all the grilling, and all my buddies kill me. I mean, all my guys I play with in college are like, God, Kirby, you can't even get a hamburger on the grill and make. I'm never home. And so I don't ever get to grill, but she does all the grilling. She does all that. And I'm embarrassed. When I go with my boys, I can't do a steak. I can't do a hamburger. I'm going to have to get my dad to teach my sons because I can't do it. But I'll eat it now.
Yeah. You know, I read a little bit about your dad. Tell us about your dad, the influence he's had in your life?
Yeah, he was big. You know, I grew up going to every practice since I was 5 or 6 years old. He grew up in Dothan, Alabama. He coached. He went to Samford there in Birmingham. A Baptist man that raised me in the church with my mom and our family and my brothers and sisters. He meant a lot to me in terms of getting into coaching. And his example, he set, like leading his staff and taking care of the players. I mean, we would have players over to our house to eat all the time. I went on college trips with guys that I idolized that played at the high school. We would go, you know, on visits when I was a little kid, and he would take them because they didn't have a way to get there sometimes. And he just meant a lot to a lot of people. And sometimes you don't realize that until you get older. And you know, when he's been kind of sick here lately, all these former players have reached out to him, and it's made him feel value in what he did, his career, and how many people he served from coaching 30 years of high school football. Just meant a ton to me. So he's had a great influence on me, and it's helped me be who I am today.
The fact that you brought that up, Kirby, we started the show, we were talking about, Charles was talking about one of his old teachers who had recently passed and how he had kept in touch with him and what it means. We talked about what it means if you're a person of influence, to hear from somebody you may have coached, you may have taught, something like that. What does it do for you when you hear from somebody that you coached years ago who said, hey, thanks, and I'll never forget you?
Oh, it's huge, man. I got a little folder on my phone because, you know, we didn't grow up in this phone era, but now I get a text message from a guy like Quay Walker of the Green Bay Packers, and he sends me a text the day after the draft, and he's like, Coach, I now understand why you were an asshole to me my entire freshman and sophomore year. You pushed me so hard, and you didn't let me leave, and you told my mama that I needed to stay here and stick it out when I tried to leave, and now look where I'm at. And that's just one of the stories. But when I get those text messages from those young men that I coached, I mean, I'm starting to come across, Antonio Cromartie, who I coached at FSU, is a great corner in the NFL. His son is coming out now. And it's just Dominic Robinson, a guy that I coached at FSU. His son is one of the number one tight ends in the country and great baseball player in recruiting them. When you come across these guys you coached early in your career, it's pretty cool, especially, you know, being 40, 46, 47 years old.
Well, first of all, I don't think you need any more tight ends. I think you're good. Okay. I think you're good on the tight end front.
Yeah.
But my question, last time I saw you was at the golf tournament. When are you going to break out the clubs?
As soon as possible, Bart. I was going to ask you the same thing. As soon as this weather warms up enough, or I get to somewhere that has warm enough weather, I'm breaking out the golf clubs. I got to get my swing right. I got to get mine looking better in here so people won't pick at it.
Last thing before we let you go. So Shaq had told me, he said, look, if Georgia wins the game, I will eat a frog or frog legs or whatever. Any advice for him? Any experience in that regard?
Yes. I want to go back to what Charles said. Anything fried tastes good. So if he can fry them legs, he's got a chance of getting through it. That might be his only way to get through the frog legs.
Coach, I want to thank you first and foremost for making my life miserable for another year, but I want to congratulate you on. I told Ernie earlier that was perfection. Congratulations! It couldn't happen to a better school and a better guy. Congratulations!
Thank you for that, Charles. I appreciate that and respect you a lot and love the work you've always done and what you stand for. Really admire, and I've always watched you even as a young athlete. I watched you growing up and appreciate all you've done for our sport and your sport. Thank you, too, Ernie, for representing our alma mater the right way, baby.
Man, it's my pleasure. And going for a three-peat. Last team to do that was Minnesota in the 1930s. Oh. Last team to win it three times in a row. Oh. Until Georgia does it next year. Kirby Smart. Appreciate you very much. Thanks for spending the time.
Thank you. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
that was awesome.
How about you?
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
That was tremendous.
Hey, I was reading the stat. He's like third in SEC history for interceptions.
Yeah, double digits, like 13 or 14 picks.
Yeah, I saw that. That's impressive.
Yes, it is.
To have that record after all these years, to be if you were in the top 5 to 10.
Not bad.
Not bad at all, especially as much as they throw the ball today.
And you know how he always closes those interviews out?
Go Dogs. Yeah.
Thanks for saying that, Chuckster.
Yeah.
Get that on tape, boys and girls. We'll be back.
Hey.
Back here on the steam room.
One of my favorite people.
Me?
Nope.
Oh.
Yep. You are one of my favorite people.
Thank you,
Chuck. But we're getting ready to interview one of my favorite people. Oh,
and she's been on the show before, so yes. She knows the one rule is that you keep your towel on in the steam room. And, geez, it's amazing to me, Chuckster. I was watching her on Tuesday night on the NBA studio show with Adam Lefko and Shaq.
And Jamal.
And now, here it is Thursday, and she's hanging out in some cabin in the woods of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. How about that?
Hey, are you roughing it? Are you like going out killing your dinner and stuff like that?
To be honest, we stopped at Kroger and got some marinated chickens.
Come on, Candace, go hunt.
Have you seen some bears?
Go
and
out
stuff
in the backyard and kill some deer, some rabbits, some squirrel. Throw them on the grill. Come on, live the life.
Mm-hmm. You hear any banjo music, run.
Yeah, but Tennessee doesn't do that.
Yeah, you do.
Does Georgia do that, Ernie?
Yeah. Oh, Ernie can do that in his backyard right now. Ernie lives in the middle of nowhere. Go, like, you can go hunting. If you went in your backyard,
I don't go hunting.
I know that, but I'm saying, I could go out in your backyard, and I guarantee there's rabbit, squirrel, and deer.
There are deer.
Yes.
There are deer. We've seen wild turkeys. We have seen...
Oh, wild turkey.
Yeah.
And we found out today that's plenty of bird.
Hey, Candace, I got a question.
I guarantee you.
Candace, have you ever bought bird seed to feed birds around your place?
I have never personally.
Candace, don't embarrass us black people.
Hold the phone.
Wait a second.
And wow, holding up a bird feeder for the Chuckster to see. Yeah.
Candace,
baby.
You just embarrassed black people all over the United States.
I'm doing country stuff with my friends.
I'll give you a hall pass on country. Ernie was bragging earlier. He's got, not only he has bird feeders, he got bird cameras. Oh, look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that.
Can you say hi? Say hi, Uncle Ernie. Hi, Uncle Chuck.
That's adorable.
He's just in here just messing up the cabin. So,
yeah.
Well, that's what kids are supposed to do.
He's like, hey, when are we going to go hunting?
That's right. Yes.
He's ready.
So we had this discussion, Candace. I said, I like bird watching. I like to feed the birds. I like the birds to come to the house. And I was given a gift of a bird buddy, which is a feeder that has a camera in it. So it takes these up close pictures of the birds.
Look at that look on her face.
What kind of birds do you get?
We got northern cardinals, eastern bluebirds. We got the Carolina chickadees and wrens and
first of all,
brown
you
thrashers.
You just made the story worse that you actually know these type of birds.
I love birds, man.
I love taking
pictures of birds, and I love watching birds. It's soothing.
The only thing we get in California are the hummingbirds.
Oh, I love hummingbirds, you know, too. I got hummingbird feeders.
Yeah. And our neighbors get all the hummingbirds and they won't come, like, cause you're supposed to put sweet water or something in there.
Yeah. Sugar water.
See, I know a little something, Chuck.
They are amazing. They're amazing to watch. Hummingbirds are amazing to watch.
You have to put sugar water. In the water.
Sugar water in a feeder. Oh man, they're awesome. They're really territorial. They'll be attacking each other. Anyway. Hey Candace, how are you? How are you? It's great to see you again. It was great to see you on the air Tuesday with you, with those guys.
I appreciate it. We're loving having Jamal. He's the best. He's crossing up everybody in the studio, as you all saw. But he's a great addition. And, you know, obviously, you know, we take care of Shaq on Tuesdays. It's not always easy. I don't know how y'all do it.
I don't either.
We get paid. That's Hey, you don't want to. Hey, the only reason I hang out with Shaq, like, they're like, man, and Shaq a pain. I'm like, yeah, but they pay me.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do it for free.
I say the exact same thing. People say, man, I feel for you when you got to sit between Shaq and Chuck. I said, they're paying me. Don't worry about it. I'm good. We're all fine. So here we are halfway through the NBA season, Candace. Who's going to win it all?
Right now, and obviously Kevin Durant being out, I think hurts the Brooklyn Nets. But I've been really pleased in watching their development and their progression through the season. I think they're one act acquisition away from, and I think a backup center.
Yeah, a big, yeah.
Yeah, all their other guys are starting to come on. Seth, you think about Joe Harris. The others are coming on. And so if they can kind of hold suit a little bit, I think they'll be all right. So I have them actually coming out of the East.
So you'd have them beating Milwaukee or Boston?
I have them beating Milwaukee, Boston, or Cleveland. However, the team that can get the top seed that doesn't have to play, you know, both tough matchups in the East, I think will prevail. True. I mean, if you think about it, a couple years ago, KD was one toe away from being in the NBA Finals. And I think we all forget that, how crazy that series was. Kyrie gets hurt and goes out. James Harden's coming back. You know, so I think Brooklyn, I don't want to face Brooklyn. I wouldn't want to face Brooklyn in a 7-game series.
Yeah, you know, I told Ernie about a month ago, I said.
And I didn't even throw Philly in there, too. I think Philly's definitely in that mix, too.
I told Ernie about a month ago, you know, he got his little card thing, his little stickums. I says, the Denver Nuggets are going to have the best record in the West. I feel even more confident after watching them play in the last week, their killer instinct. Because I said, the only thing that concerns me is their killer instinct. And I love what they did to Phoenix last night. Like, Phoenix coming here shorthanded, let's just kill them. And last week, I forget who we had them on against. They just stumped somebody last week. Last week was the worst week of basketball in the history of Turner Sports. We had two 30-point blowouts.
Yeah, two games decided by 60.
But I did say this. Denver's my favorite, but I got zero idea right now who's going to win this thing. It is so – she's right about the East. Like she said, we can actually make an argument for Philly. I said, but Boston and Milwaukee. See, the thing that concerns me about Brooklyn, they're going to drop like a rock the next month. They're going to – it's going to be very –
You don't think they can win games without KD?
I don't think they can, because he made up for the lack of size because he's so great. And she said they need to make a trade. But she said something else that was really good. They're going to drop a long way. You can't have to beat Milwaukee and Boston. And you have to be careful. If you have to play Philly the first round, that's going to be very difficult on anybody. So I think the next month, I think it's going to be really hard for Brooklyn to win. But I said this to you the other night. My Suns, Miami, Chicago.
That's funny the way you said it.
They all
my
need.
Suns, Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, they all need to do something drastic.
Yeah.
Especially my Suns, because it's over for them. Because once you lose that chemistry, I don't think you can get it back. There's something going on in that locker room. But I think she said something great. Somebody's going to have to make a trade. Denver don't have to make a trade. Yeah. I think the Warriors got to make a trade because the young guys aren't working. They got to make a trade. I'm trying to think who else in the West.
Well, while you think, it's been, you know, we've had Candace on the pod here, and I feel like it's been like 20 minutes since we've heard from her. So so who you got? Who you like in the West, Candace?
Hey, I have a rebuttal for Chuck, just in terms of Denver. There was a stat that I came across listening to another great podcast, Dunked On. I like listening to it when I'm doing my cardio, getting ready for the season. But in that podcast, there was a stat I came across that Denver is making the highest percentage in the NBA of contested shots. So I've got to believe in some way, shape, or form that that's going to come back down to the mean. Right? It's going to come back down to the average. Okay. And then where are you going to hang your hat on when that comes back down? Now, listen, Jokic, a bully, like unstoppable, almost averaging a triple double. But in a 7-game series, defensively for them has always been an issue.
Yep.
So I think just in terms of if they're able to outscore people, yes. But defensively, I worry about Denver. And I think defensively, we've seen teams that are great offensively, the Warriors in the past and Milwaukee in the past, but they have to have defense. And Denver, what are they in the, what 20s in the NBA in defensive ratings? Yeah. I just worry about them. I think the West is wide open. Today, I have Memphis coming out of the West. And I say that because they do all the little things. Jaren Jackson Jr. is finally healthy. And I think the way he deters, alters, protects the rim, added another layer that they didn't have the previous years when he wasn't healthy or when he wasn't playing. He's now not getting into foul trouble, which I think is huge. But I think Memphis just has it. I think Bane is taking a step forward. Brooks is taking a step forward. Ja Morant, obviously, we know at will he can score. And I think they're playing a little bit better and less ISO. So I don't know. I have Memphis today coming out of the West, but I agree with you, Chuck. Like, Phoenix has to make a trade. They bet it all on black these last 3 years,
yeah. And
the window has closed. So I'm in agreement with you. I mean, Jay Crowder's just sitting there, who was an integral part of your team.
Do something.
If I'm
move him or play him.
Do something. If I'm Milwaukee or Philly, I'm like, hey, what do you want for Jay Crowder? You can't have a player that good, with all the BS that's going on in Phoenix, you can't tell me if they had Jay Crowder on the team the last 2 weeks, they had lost six in a row. You telling me if Jay Crowder is not on your team, you don't.
They lost 9 of 10 games.
Listen. And the one game they won, you're like, no Booker, no Chris Paul, no Aiden. They were missing somebody else. And like, you beat the Warriors.
In their gym
by double digits.
Yeah.
I was like, that's their only win.
Hey, I got one for you. Your all-star starters, front court, East.
Ooh. Don't worry about it, Candace.
Three of them.
Somebody's going to – when he gives you the four guys, somebody –
Well, she knows the four.
But somebody's going to get left off. We know that for a fact.
However, with KD being out.
That might have saved the NBA. That might have saved you too, Ernie, because you vote.
But you still can't disregard what he did to get Brooklyn where they are. And to me, you can always say, look, this guy was a starter. And like, if you're going to replace him. But yeah, I can't just disregard him.
Yeah. Well, but you know, voters are going to do that. Because that gives them
it's an easy way out.
It's an easy way out.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. To be honest with you, because
Tatum and Adekupo,
Durant,
Embiid, come on,
I would go personally, and I know they're gonna go crazy on me in Philly. I would go Giannis, Tatum, and KD. Those three guys all got the best records. So, and you know, we had this argument with Big Fella every year. He said, it's an individual thing. I said, no, you have to award team. So you got to give it to Tatum. But Giannis is right behind him. Embiid's missed some games too.
But when he is playing, which, you know, Philly is back in contention. He kind of held it down while James Harden was out and injured. Besides Williams, Boston hasn't really had any injuries. Which, you know, in time, there are going to be people that are banged up and things like that. But I just think there's a better way from the NBA going forward. If we're playing and we're going for positionless basketball.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be certain positions that make it and certain positions that don't?
That's true. So I'm going to ask you this other question because Ernie gets a vote. Do you get a vote on MVP?
I do get a vote on MVP.
We're halfway through the season. Who's your MVP?
Halfway through the season, MVP, as of today, is Luka.
Luka?
And I say this, I almost go against myself, but I think that there are statement wins and there are statement games.
Yeah.
And up until this point in the season, I think Jokic has changed his game for the better for his team to win. And yes, he is still putting up MVP-like numbers, almost averaging a triple-double. But I think anytime you get a 60-point triple-double, Luka doesn't really have all that help, that much help, and he's in, fourth or fifth in the West. I just think that Luka is putting up almost identical numbers plus 13 points or 12 points. So I just – what about you?
I probably would. I'm glad I don't have a vote because, man, this is going to be so awesome right now. But I'd probably give it to Luka because, first of all, he's been We have him on all the time, and he's been spectacular. I do have a serious question for you. With obviously, it was great for, number one, the WNBA, the NBA family, and sports in general when Brittany got released from prison over in Russia. And we had Kelsey Plum on about a month ago when everything went down. Do you think, you know, other than yourself, Sue Bird, I'm trying to think, I don't know how many WNBA women who have endorsement deals. You think this could be a turning point for the WNBA? And instead of all these ladies having to go to these crazy countries to supplement their income, some of these American companies could get off their ass and say, hey, you know what? Let's make sure these women don't have to go to these crap countries and play in crazy conditions and have to look over their shoulders all the time. And let's give them some endorsement. You think this could be a turning point?
I think the conversation is there. The action behind and the traction behind it, you know, needs to happen soon. I think we're seeing in women's sports the transformation and the revolution of, you know, how we invest in sports and the visibility behind it. I myself have to say, like, the way I've taken care of my kids has been as a result of going to Russia for 6 years, going to Turkey for 1 year, and going to China for two. Some of the top players made 10, or, you know, 10 times, 15 times what they made in the WNBA overseas for 6 months. And so when people would ask me, is that your summer job? No, like, the WNBA was my summer job. That was my other job. And so I think now, with the different rule changes in the CBA, which WNBA is trying to put an emphasis on players being in training camp from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And here's when the penalty actually starts, where you have to be in training camp day one or you're suspended for the season. And so I think next year is actually going to be the year that's the make or break, where you got to find the endorsements. You know, companies need to step up and do their part, but also star players are going to have to make a choice. And honestly, at my time, when I was playing overseas, that choice, just money-wise, would have been to play overseas. And so I think we're kind of going to be in that period of time, these next 2 years, where we're going to have companies step up, and we're going to have the WNBA step up with more opportunities to keep players from going overseas. And now, you know, Russia's out of the picture, China's out of the picture. So, the value overseas is a lot less than it was. But you need star players. Like, to have a league, you need star players. And so there's a ceiling of what WNBA players can make, right? Like, you even think about the fight of flying first class is a problem. You can't legally fly first class. They can't buy your first class ticket. But then we're signing coaches for 8 and 9 times higher than what players are making. And it's no fault of the coaches. It's just, I don't think there's ever been a successful league where the coaches are making more than the best players. And so I think there's a lot of things that need to be addressed from a business standpoint in the WNBA.
Hey, Candace, sitting there in the mountains of Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Regular Annie tonight, Oakley.
Are you going to be, do you have access to a television tonight?
I do.
Gonna,
in a fireplace.
Yeah, you're going to be watching some Celebrity Jeopardy?
Oh my gosh, no, I'm not going to watch it. Because when this airs, you all are going to know my fate.
How did it go?
Have you all ever done it? Have you all ever done
like
Jeopardy?
Chuckster has.
I
did Celebrity, we did Celebrity Family Feud.
Actually, that button to me, you can't, like, even when you know an answer, if you hit it too soon, it doesn't work. You can't push it. Like I knew the answer, and I tried to push the button, and they wasn't through with the question, and then your button doesn't work.
I thought it was a little thing you held in your hand.
If you push it before the question is done,
you're locked out. Period. You're locked out.
You can't push it out. And then if you push it, you have to keep doing this. It's the button is the hardest thing.
Yeah. But isn't that explained to you before you take the stage, Candace?
Ernie, we're talking split seconds,
isn't that
Ernie.
Explained to you? They don't just say, hey, here's a button. Figure it out.
I got destroyed. So
did you really?
Was it bad? Honestly, and the questions that I knew the answers to, I couldn't push the button. I couldn't push it. Like, I push it, or I would, like, automatically just push it and stop. And she was like, just keep doing it. And it's just, I couldn't get it. So,
oh man. Chuckster had a great moment back when he did Celebrity Jeopardy. I'm not even going to set it up. Just all I'm going to tell you is that Martha Stewart beat him to this one. Play it.
Charles, where do we start?
Hey, sport, the 200.
All right, on January 13th, 1999, this Chicago Bulls player retired after 13 seasons in which he averaged 31.5 points a game. Martha.
Who was Michael Jordan?
You're right. What happened, Charles?
Oh, my God.
My button didn't work. Because I was pushing the button halfway through it. And I was like, my button's not working.
I sympathize with you because, well, first, I didn't get a category. Everybody that was on the show with me got their category. Like, it was insane. There was no sports, no colleges, no nothing, no history. So I was just in there like, all right, I don't get a category, but it's cool. Because, you know, it's Celebrity Jeopardy. But you're right. Like, there are some questions where I was like, how? And then I froze on one of the questions. I had a similar experience with that.
Here's a couple of the ones that Charles did not ring in on when he was on. Cigars from this island, 90 miles south of Florida, are treasured by some as the best in the world. No ring in from Chuckster.
It just didn't count.
In November of 2000, Phil Mickelson caught this tiger by the tail, winning the PGA, the Tour Championship by 2 strokes. No ring in from Chuckster.
I'm telling
you. And then he gets beaten to the punch by Martha Stewart on MJ. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? And I have not been on Jeopardy, but when we were on Family Feud, it's a different feeling out there, isn't it, Candace? When you're sitting out there, like I was looking at Jimmy Rollins face to face. We started the show off going head to head. And I was like, man, this is nerve wracking.
It is nerve wracking.
There is nothing like it. I'll tell you, I was the most nervous in my life doing a TED talk. I think that was like the most nervous I've ever been. And then second, it was when I got on the Jeopardy stage and it was just, yeah, it was one of those things where the first question and my daughter was in the stand. So I look up at my daughter and she's like,
oh no,
geez, that's awesome.
You're grounded. Oh man.
I was like, I support you. No, your team is 1-6 or 1-7, and I'm there clapping for you. And I look up and you give me the thumbs down in the stands. I'm like, goodness.
Hey, you know the good thing about that, Candace? You may have been nervous at the TED Talk, but you killed that thing. It was awesome.
Thank you so much, Ernie.
It was tremendous.
You must be big time if you're doing a TED Talk.
Yes, sir. Hey, look, have fun in the mountains of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Maybe you get a little snowfall up there. You never know.
Hey, kill me something and bring it home.
And it can't be something that you scrape up off the side of the road either. We're not taking that.
No roadkill. Go hunt like a real woman. Thank you, doll.
I miss y'all. I'll see you soon, okay?
I miss you too. See ya.
Bye.
She's the best.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
It's that time.
Yes.
Chuck's answering machine.
Yes, sir.
Which is always the way we wrap up the Steam Room. And let's get right to it. It's 404, by the way. 404-987-0330. 404-987-0330.
Impressive.
Call number one. Go.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hey, Chuck and Ernie. It's Stav here, original oil steamer. So I'm having dinner with some friends the other day, and we're working our way through the starters menu looking for some entrees to share. And one of them tells me we shouldn't order olives because he doesn't like them. I looked this bloke dead in the eye and said, mate, you can't trust a person who doesn't like olives. Charles, I was relieved to learn last week that you do like olives, which in my eyes makes you both trustworthy and a smart bloke. Now, I know that's a bizarre philosophy to live by, so I'm curious if you guys have any other quirky rules that you live by. I'd love Ernie to answer for Charles and Charles to answer for Ernie. For some reason, I think this will be easier for you, Ernie, but perhaps you can dig up a strange rule of Chuck's that we haven't heard about before. Happy New Year, fellas. Stav.
a strange rule. I mean, all I know is just the neat freak thing, and the and that if I like crumble up some Pringles or something, and while he's not at his seat in the viewing room, just leave a little trash that you can just watch him explode when he gets back in. So that's a button I know to push on the Chuckster.
Hey, that is definitely a button to push. Ernie, you cannot touch Ernie papers.
This is true.
I made the mistake one time just being an
of ripping up my notes during a post game show on the road.
And
that's
Ernie
what you did.
Went ballistic. And
he did.
And first of all, Kenny dared me.
Yeah, I know.
So I think it was Kenny's fault, to be in fairness. But don't ever touch his papers.
Yeah.
Staff, you don't share appetizers. You order your own appetizer, and if you choose to share, you have to choose to
you
share.
You can't share olives? Sure you can.
You can share olives. But he said they were
yeah.
getting a bunch of appetizers. See, that's the reason I don't like to share food. Number one, I'm a big dude. But the reason I don't like to share food is, what if somebody orders something you don't like? I don't believe in sharing food. My friends say that all the time. I'm like, no, we're not sharing food, brother. You can buy your own stuff.
No, but if you got three appetizers there and you say, hey, try some of this. Boom. So you
yeah,
take a bite.
Yeah, but I want my own. But I make sure I order my own first. Like, if, right. And I've been to dinner with a bunch of people. We order a bunch of, but I always order my own because I know what I want to eat.
And you don't want to share.
Well, I will share, but I always order my own because I know what's going to be good.
Okay.
I don't want to be with three or four losers and they order crap I don't like. But as far as sharing food, I hate sharing food. Like, yo, man, you know I don't eat fish. And you order fish and you wanted some of my steak, some of my chicken or something. Like, I got screwed in that deal. That ain't right.
Call two.
Hi, Charles. This is Corey calling from Wisconsin. You fish. Is there any particular fish that you fish for? And have you ever been ice fishing? And another, first of all, you watch hockey, you like hockey. Do you ice skate? Or have you ever ice skated? Enjoy listening to you guys. Thanks. Bye.
That's a lot of questions from Wisconsin. That's all good ones.
I would be terrified to ice fish.
So would the ice.
So would the ice. So growing up, to make ends meet, my grandmother went fishing probably 3 or 4 days a week because it was me and my brothers and my mom. So obviously my mom was a maid and my grandma worked at the meat factory. So we had to supplement with fishing. Brim, bass, catfish, those are the only fish that, well, I guess was in our area. So, but I went deep sea fishing one time and it sucked.
Why?
Well, I went with the Globetrotters. We were somewhere, some island somewhere. I can't even remember. It was like back like in 85, 86. And I wrestled with this fish. I think it was a marlin. I wrestled with this fish for like 2 hours. And then when we got it on the boat, they said we couldn't eat it. So I was like, well, that's stupid. So why would you wrestle with a fish that you can't eat? Because yeah. It was strenuous and stressful.
Yeah.
Like, man, it was amazing.
That's what I've heard. I've never done that.
And so I'm not a big deep sea fishing guy because I don't like being that far away from land.
Did you get seasick?
I did.
See, that's no fun for me.
Yeah, yeah. So I got seasick and I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
But to answer your question.
And you are a hockey lover.
I love hockey. Hockey, yeah. Hockey is amazing.
Yeah.
My shout out to my boys on TNT, Liam, Bissonette, Wayne, Anson, and my boy Rick Tockett. So I love hockey.
So what do you like to fish for now?
The same thing, bass, brim. Because I don't, I'm a Lake Creek guy. You know, like I say, I don't do the deep sea thing. And I've never, and like my friends say, I should start trying
fly
fishing. And I'm like, yeah, that's too much work. You know, I want to throw my thing in there, grab a beer and sit there until something pulls.
Cigar.
That's, you know, it's interesting you said, the only time I smoke cigars is when I'm playing golf or I go to a cigar bar.
Hmm.
And I love doing both of those.
Sounds like a cigar would be great for sitting out and wetting the line.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. I've never done it. Huh. I prefer, like I say, unless I go, I'm always going to smoke when I play golf. And when I go, there's some great cigar bars in my life. The Red Phone Booth here in Atlanta is an amazing place. They got a couple clubs here, a couple of locations. But I love it. And I guess a place in Alabama I love to go. There's a couple places in Arizona I love to go. I love going to a cigar bar for like 3 or 4 hours and just chilling.
Call 3.
Hey, Chuck and Ernie. My name is Pat, and I'm from Nashville. I've been a longtime viewer of Inside and a loyal steamer from the beginning. I love you, Chuck, but my call today is to brag on Elevator Ernie. About a year and a half ago, I slid into Ernie's DMs and told him about a friend of mine who just got diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Being a longtime fan of Ernie's, I knew he had gone through the same and won his battle. I thought he might reply with a, tell your buddy he's got this, or praying for him, but he simply replied with, what's his number? I find out later that day from my buddy that Ernie had taken 10 minutes, called him, talked him through it, what he might expect, and said he's got this while praying for him. I'd also find out later that Ernie did all this while he was on a beach vacation with his family. I know that time is super valuable to him, and he still took the time to call someone he didn't know to make his day a little brighter. I just wanted to update Ernie and say my buddy is in complete remission and enjoying his family to the fullest. And a good part of that was because of people like Ernie who spoke encouragement into him and prayed for my friend. Ernie talks the talk and walks the walk when it comes to being a better human. Just wanted to take a second and leave a voicemail that shouted out Ernie and the awesome person he is. Y'all have a great day and keep up the good work.
Well, wait a minute, brother. You're preaching to the choir. We know how awesome Ernie is. I've been stuck with him for 22 years. So that's no shock. There's no surprise. I mean, there's no shock or surprise that Ernie did something like that. He's done that many, many times. But number one, I'm glad your friend is in remission.
No doubt, that's great news.
But number one, thanks for being an inside guy. Thanks for being a loyal steamer. But your man saying what a great dude Ernie is like, okay, hey, yeah, and what else?
Here's the thing, Chuckster. What I learned from going through cancer back in 2003 and is that when you do that, you have a responsibility and an opportunity to help the next person through it. And so anytime I get calls like that or messages like that, and it's like, let's talk. And so because people did the same thing for me, you know? And what I always also tell folks is that if you know somebody who's struggling with something, it doesn't have to be cancer, it can be just something that's going on in their lives, and you're aware of that, hit the send button.
Yeah.
Don't just say, you know, I really need to reach out to this guy. And then all of a sudden 3 or 4 weeks passes and you still haven't done anything. And, you know, so when it strikes you and when you know, hit the send button or text or call or do whatever, but reach out because it means the world to folks who are struggling, going through stuff. But thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
You just never know, man, what people are going through.
Before we split, Georgia, 65-7 over TCU. Last week, you and I bet on the game, our standard bet. But part of that bet was also, you said if Georgia beats TCU, because remember we had the chef on last week.
Yeah.
You said you'd eat okra.
No. I'd have to look at the tape on that.
Oh, well, play it. What do we normally do, Chuckster?
$100.
Okay, that's fine. I'll give you $17.
Thank you. Yes, I'll take it.
I'll give you $17, and when I win that, you eat some more guacamole next week.
Deal.
And some fried okra.
Nobody eats okra.
Bring out the okra.
Come on,
Bring out the okra. Oh, my.
Last week, guacamole. Because
you tried guac last week, and you said if Georgia wins, you'd try fried okra.
Damn, you bought a lot.
All right.
That was a waste of money.
Quick, man. We're up against it.
Oh.
Eat some fried okra.
Wash it down with some bread.
Okay, go. Just pop one in there, man. That's not bad, is it?
Not bad.
No.
It's not bad.
Fried okra is good, man.
I didn't say that. But my point is, everything's good fried.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's good fried.
Oh, yeah. I'm not just going to eat okra. I'm eating fried okra.
That little slimy little green thing, that's disgusting.
I know.
This ain't bad. It ain't good, though.
Okay.
It's 2 weeks in a row y'all made me eat some stuff I don't eat.
Hey, it's been a pleasure again, Chuckster, as it always is.
Ernie?
Joining you on the Steam Room. I hope this hasn't been this painful.
I want to be a bigger man.
Yeah.
That was impressive. Congratulations to the dogs.
Thank you much. And here's a guarantee. Next week, no Georgia talk. Because we've only been doing that for the last 3 weeks. That's it for the Steam Room. For Charles Barkley, Ernie Johnson. See you then.
This don't even have a taste.